This is a very sad occasion for us at Christchurch. Over the last 3.5 years, we've grown to love Nick and Lucy and Maple. They have served the Lord faithfully. They have loved Jesus. They have loved people and sought to share Jesus with all that they could. I would like to thank them for all their hard work and for their partnership in the gospel. I've enjoyed my Tuesday mornings with Nick when we've talked through the work and prayed together. I particularly enjoyed it when Lucy used to come and when Becca would join us. I know that the young people have grown to love you, Nick and Lucy. You've given of yourselves in so many ways. You've had young people round to work on your beetle, to receive drum lessons. You've taken trips to various places. You've also loved adults in the church, parents of young people, other adults who just needed someone to love them. Thank you for all that you've done, and for all that you are. And now we want to commission you, to send you out in the power of the Spirit to the next stage of your ministry, just as Jesus sent out the first disciples in Matthew 28. I don't know if that's going to come on the screen. Matthew 28. There it is. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Don't know if you ever read the end of a book before the middle. It's quite a naughty thing to do. You're reading a novel, and you just want to know what happens. So you flick to the final pages. I don't know if I should admit this, but I earned 2 degrees reading the introduction to books, the chapter headings, and then skipping to the conclusion. It's not all I did for my degrees, but I did a lot of that. Well, today we're reading the conclusion to a book. It's a biography by a man called Matthew, and it's about Jesus. There are 4 biographies of Jesus in the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell the same story from a slightly different perspective. Matthew is a particularly Jewish account. You may know the story. Jesus is born of a virgin called Mary. She's made pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus grows up. He teaches like no one else, as one who has authority. He heals the sick. Supremely, he comes to die. He dies on the cross as God. He is God come in the flesh. And as he dies, he takes upon himself the sin of the world. He takes upon himself the things we've done wrong. He absorbs into himself the wrath of God for sin. He absorbs into himself God's settled hostility to all that is wrong. He is punished there in our place, so that we can be forgiven and know that we're going to heaven. But then, to show that it's all true, that he is God, and that sin and death and hell are all defeated, Jesus rises again, triumphantly, from the grave. And now, here in chapter 28, we meet the risen Christ as he commissions his disciples, just as we commission Nick and Lucy. Jesus actually sends all of us out into the world to serve him. And I've got three things to say about this. Love Jesus, trust Jesus, and serve Jesus. Firstly then, love Jesus. This is verses 16 and 17. I wonder what you love in life. Hopefully you love your family. You might love your job. You might love your hobbies. I hope many of you love Christchurch. I love Christchurch. But there should be someone we love more than all these things. I love my family, but one day, either I will die first, or Becca will die first, one of us will be bereft. I've been taking funerals now for 16 years. It isn't just old people who die. I've taken quite a number of funerals of people in their 40s. I can think of one lady in her 30s. I can think of one baby. In 1 3-month period, I took the funerals of 3 alcoholics. One of them had a 15-year-old daughter. She wasn't very old. She got drunk. She went out in the garden. She fell over because she was drunk. She lay there all night and died of hypothermia. Life is very fragile and very short. Even old people are often not ready to die. That's why it's not enough just to love our families. We need a love which goes beyond the grave. And that's why it's so wonderful to love Jesus. Jesus has conquered death. We'll be with Jesus in heaven. Our relationship with him will go on for all eternity. Look at how the disciples loved Jesus in verses 16 and 17. They must have felt sad in verse 16. There are now only 11 of them. Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus and has killed himself. They must have felt very sad about this. They retreat to Galilee in the north, looking for safety. They've had a highly traumatic time. And they go to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And then verse 17, they see him and they worship him. They loved him. They bow down before him. They recognize that he is God. He is the one they want. I don't know if you've read the Bible, but sometimes you read and you experience the presence of God in a very powerful way. You feel cut to the heart. You know you've met with Jesus. This is what Nick and Lucy and Maple will need as they go to Surrey. Keep loving Jesus. Keep meeting with him in the Bible, in prayer. Keep serving him. But then verse 17, some doubted. Some doubt, even in the very presence of Jesus. Some people say, I'd believe in Jesus if he did a miracle in my presence. I heard Professor Lewis Wolport say this. But all the evidence we need has been given to us. Why not come on one of our Christianity Explored courses and go through the evidence for Jesus? the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the evidence for his resurrection. The evidence is sound. The question is, do I want to love Jesus? Love Jesus. Secondly, trust Jesus. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The disciples here are being sent into the world. The Roman Empire would oppose them. In the Roman Empire, every citizen had to sacrifice to the emperor and declare that he is Lord. And the Christians would stand up and say, "Jesus is Lord." They would be imprisoned for this, executed for this. The Emperor Nero would set fire to Christians on crosses to light his garden parties. Other Christians he fed to the lions for sport. How do you insist that Jesus is Lord against that kind of pressure? Today, the persecution of Christians is perhaps worse. Imagine being a Christian in North Korea, or under Islamic State, or even friendly nations like Saudi Arabia. How do you live for Christ? How can you stand for Christ in school, in North Harts? How can you do it in your workplace or in your family? The answer in verse 18 is that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Jesus is the King. Jesus has authority over the Roman Empire. Jesus has authority over North Korea, over Islamic State. We've seen this authority throughout Matthew's Gospel. Jesus has authority over sickness, over demonic powers, over death itself. The question then is, will I trust Jesus' authority? Sometimes we get really nervous as we try to live for Jesus. Will we be accepted? Will people like us? But all authority belongs to Jesus. Therefore, trust him. Trust him in your situation. Trust him and make him your king. All authority has been given to him. Therefore, he will make a decision. A decision about our eternal destiny. He will decide whether to send us to heaven or to hell. He only allows into heaven those who trust him. Trust that when he died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. He only accepts those who trust him. And he only accepts those who serve him as king. Thirdly then, serve Jesus. Verses 19 and 20. This will be Nick's job in Farnham. Serving Jesus, verse 19. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We're not just interested in church attendance. Jesus wants us to make disciples of him. A disciple is a learner. Jesus wants people to learn from him, learn to be like him. We do this by studying his word, the Bible. Baptism is a sign that you belong to Jesus. It's a symbolic wash. I've told you before about the prostitute who stood watching the water go down the plug hole of the baptismal pool. She was asked what she was doing. She said, "Oh, I'm watching my sin go down the plug hole." In baptism, we're symbolically washed clean. We're buried under the water. Our old life of sin is dead and buried. We are raised out of the water. We are born to a new life following Jesus. And we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God is Trinity. God is one. But he is three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All equally God. We are to serve Jesus by making disciples like this. And verse 20, teaching you to obey everything I have commanded you. Nick and Lucy, we are to be teachers of God's word. It's not enough just to baptize people. I used to baptize babies on a Sunday afternoon. 9 times out of 10, we never saw the family again. They were baptized, but they weren't disciples. They weren't learning to follow Jesus. They weren't being taught everything Jesus has commanded us. We must not make this mistake. Well, Nick and Lucy, God be with you in Farnham. And may you trust in the second half of verse 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is with you. He will go ahead of you. He will prosper your work. Love Jesus. Trust Jesus. Serve Jesus.